What does Veltman's departure say about efforts to bring peace to the Horn of Africa? What would you say have been his main achievements, given that the war is still ongoing in Ethiopia?
Well, I'm sure he would probably say that he's not entirely satisfied with the conditions that he's leaving his portfolio in, because you're right, the conflict in Ethiopia is still very much going on, although perhaps there's a new opening for some kind of ceasefire to emerge right now, given the withdrawal of Tigrayan forces out of Amhara and Afar. But I think that he leaves a mixed legacy, quite frankly. But I think, to be fair, this is the first time we've ever had an envoy to the Horn of Africa region. He came into the job before we had an assistant secretary. So before many of the key roles in the administration had been filled out. So he was very much, I think, came in as a stopgap to provide some leadership and some diplomatic engagement at a time when the Biden administration very early on was still filling out its team. So I think it's fair to say he did not have a full support system around him when he came into the job. And so I think he has filled out that. He has gotten, I think, the administration off to a reasonably good start, but clearly there's a lot more work to be done.
Ambassador David Satterfield, who is a former ambassador to Turkey, will be replacing Veltman. What does that tell you about the Biden administration's commitment or efforts to bring peace to this region?
Well, I think it is a good suggestion that they take it seriously, that they understand that there is an unfinished job to be done. I think it also, hopefully, is a recognition of the fact that we don't have proper diplomatic recognition in the region. We don't have an ambassador in Somalia presently. We don't have an ambassador in Sudan. And so if you're not going to have ambassadorial level representation on the ground, then you absolutely need some kind of envoy, I think, if there are crisis situations as they are in the Horn of Africa right now. So I think it's a good recognition on their part that we cannot afford to leave a diplomatic vacuum at this critical moment.
Now, in Sudan, protests have continued for 2 weeks, for weeks actually, even after the resignation of Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok. The military leaders in the country are not budging to this internal pressure. How does the new envoy approach this situation, and what kind of leverage does the U.S. have to, put pressure to the military?
Well, I think the first thing that a new envoy needs to do is make sure that he has Washington behind him. And so I think he would be well served to spend some time on Capitol Hill and in Washington with the administration, making sure that he has both a very coherent set of policy objectives and that he has the backing and the tools that he needs in order to go carry out that mission. I think that's one of the criticisms that we can make of the administration thus far is, you have Congress taking a much more aggressive line in a place like Sudan than even the administration. And across the administration, you're seeing very different messages. You're seeing much more of an accommodating message of the military coming from the State Department, whereas USAID under Samantha Power or USUN under Linda Thomas Greenfield really taking a much harder line against the military. And so I think we need to have a policy that is better managed than it has been thus far. I think it's a question as to whether or not the envoy can do that. But he also has to understand what tools we do have.
And how would he exercise that leverage?
And I think the United States, to your point about leverage, has substantial leverage that we can bring to bear in Sudan, but we haven't thus far. So we're talking about targeted sanctions against the military for both the coup d'etat that they undertook, but also the killing of nearly five dozen pro-democracy protesters, all of whom were unarmed, peaceful protesters. So there really should be consequences if this administration is going to be serious about making human rights and democracy a core pillar of our foreign policy approach, then there have to be consequences when pro-democracy protesters are gunned down in the streets by a military junta, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that Ambassador Satterfield would be well served to come out and make some very strong messages early on in his tenure.